Isaiah 8 and verse 10 says this, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You probably noticed behind me, as we've had up all year, there's a wood plaque that has the word joy in it. And that has... full strength. Wow. Joy equals strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's just easier to live when you have joy. And we want to be good stewards of what we've learned this year. And the Lord's will is not for us to go through life depressed or angry or bitter or empty, but to have joy. He's a wonderful God in heaven, you know. And he not only wants to give you salvation and take you to heaven to live with him eternally, but he wants to give you a whole lot of joy while you walk this earth until you get there. Joy gives strength. I know I've probably used this illustration about 20 times this year, but I think it's good. It helps us to understand the importance of joy. When you think of relationships, if, for instance, a man is married to a lady who gives him joy, it is easier for that man to be a husband than if he were married to a lady that gave him grief. Does that make sense? It's easier. The joy she gives him strength. The grief she gives him saps his strength. Takes it away. By the way, there is a children's church downstairs for 2 to 6. If you want to go down, any kids 2 to 6 can go down there. There they go. I'd go too. But it's harder to be a husband. You got to put forth more strength. It takes more energy to be married to a wife who gives you grief than one who gives you joy. It just makes sense. And vice versa. A wife who's married to a husband who gives her joy, it's easy for her to be his wife. But if her husband always gives him grief, it's hard for her to be his wife. And that's in anything in life. If you enjoy your job, it takes less strength to work there. Because the joy of that job gives you strength. If you can't stand your job, then the days are long. And you can't wait to get out of there. And it takes a lot of energy to go to that place every day. And that's true in all of life. Joy gives strength. We need joy. We need to value joy. We need to value joy. And then we need to be good stewards of joy. When I was at youth camp this summer in Butler, Pennsylvania, I illustrated joy as a gift. And I had a teen, young man, in both weeks help me with a stick. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14, so I gave this joy to the teenage young man. Some of you will remember that there. And he took the joy God gave him and he discarded it. He said, I don't want that. I want the world. I want the things of the world. I want the happiness the world can give me, which is very, very shallow, by the way. It'll be the end of it. Here today. There we go. And he discarded God's joy. He didn't want God's joy. Now, we're going to come back to point number one here in a minute. But then I gave him this joy, and I said, well, you're a good catch. I said, you have a father at home, and I gave Bible verses where it says children can either be a joy to their father or a grief. And I said, here's your father's joy. When you get home from camp, you're going to be a good steward of your father's joy, and you're going to either give him joy or give him grief. And again, the young man took it and threw it away. He said, I don't care what my dad thinks. My life's about me and what I want. I don't care if I'm a joy or a grief. So he doesn't think about his father. So I went over and I retrieved the joy, and I came up to him with the third illustration. I said, well, you got a mother at home. And I gave Bible verses again where it shows a son or a daughter affects the grief or the joy of their mother. You know, it's easier for your mom to be a mom if she has joy. It's harder for your mom to be a mom if her kids are always grieving her. And so I said, here's your mother's joy. You need to realize that life is not about you. Never was, never will be. It's about others and your effect on other people. So you can give your mother joy. And so here, take good care of your mother's joy. And again, he just discarded it. One guy jumped on the thing, busted it all up. And I said, oh, man, I still got 2 points to go. And he destroyed my box. And I said, all right, well, you don't care about having the joy God wants you. You don't care whether your father gets any joy out of you. You don't care whether your mother gets any joy out of you. How about this? And I said, this is God's joy. Did you know that we affect the emotions of God? We affect the feelings of God. It says in Genesis 6:6, it says, and God was grieved at his heart, and it repented him that he made man. God was once so grieved with mankind, he flooded the earth and destroyed them all. Why? Because we affected his joy. We took his joy away. Did you know that every one of us can give God joy? We can give God joy, or we can give God grief. So I gave it to the teenager. I said, surely he's gonna be concerned about God's joy. Maybe he don't care about himself. Maybe he don't care about his dad or his mom, but he's got to be concerned about how God feels. And he, once again, disregarded God's joy. Then the last point was this. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says every one of us affects the pastor's joy. It says we either give him joy or grief. And it says it's unprofitable for you to have a pastor who's full of grief. And so I said, well, I said, I see you don't have any regard for your mom or your dad or God or yourself, but what about me? I've loved you. I've tried to be a friend to you, and I handed the young man my joy. And he disregarded it, threw it against the wall. Now, that was just a skit. But what I was trying to do is teach the young people that life's not about them. It's not about them. And if we can be a source of joy, in fact, let me make this statement. You might want to write this down, because this is why joy is important, about the stewardship of our joy. Joy helps people reach their potential for God. Therefore, I will help God and his work by being a joy to people. Let me say that again. Joy helps people reach their potential for God. Therefore, I will be a help to God and his work by being a joy to people. Does that make sense? Joy helps people reach their potential for God. It does. If I have a joy out of walking with God or reading his word or something, that's going to help me reach my potential. If you have joy, that's going to help you reach your potential for God. And what is your potential for God? It's really limitless. Therefore, I can help God by being a joy to people. I can help God by being a joy to people. So therefore, I need to be concerned about others and giving them joy. Now, the first point that I made to that teenager, and by the way, parents, you know, we could go further with this thing here, and I could give you parents your children's joy. What are you going to do with your children's joy? I'm not saying spoil your kids or give them everything they want. In fact, ultimately, that will take joy away from them because then they'll have an insatiable appetite to think that the things of this world bring happiness, and they don't. In fact, you can give your children nothing but yourself, and they can be full of joy. A mother can give her children nothing but herself, and they can be full of joy. Parents, are we good stewards of our children's joy? Happiness is based on happenings which come and go. Joy comes from God, and it lasts forever if we continue to meet criteria. He says, my joy I give to you, Jesus said, and my joy no one can take away from you. See, joy can be with you on the worst day of your life, but happiness can't. The worst day of your life, you can still reach into the wells of God's joy and find strength to get through that time. Now, I said to these young people, number one, you need to be a steward of your own joy. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 14, and then men, get ready. We'll be using you here in just a minute. Proverbs chapter number 14. Psalms, Proverbs chapter 14. This is a verse I taught on earlier in the year. And it says this, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. That word intermeddle means engage. A stranger, that means somebody who keeps their distance from God. There's people like that, you know. They keep their distance from God. They don't want to be anywhere near God. I mean, they want to be saved. They want to go to heaven. But boy, they're afraid of God in the wrong way. A stranger, that's somebody who's at a distance, does not intermeddle, does not engage with his joy. He doesn't get involved with the things that bring him joy. Now, this year I preach many, many subjects on joy. And I'm going to have the men read at this time. All they're going to do is approach the pulpit, read a verse of Scripture that we brought a sermon on, and then tell you what the point was from that verse of Scripture about joy. And I want to encourage you to remember at year's end to intermeddle now with these things that they mentioned. So let's have number one. Read the Scripture, then tell us what can bring a human being joy according to this verse.
Psalm 51:12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Point number one, salvation brings joy.
Salvation brings joy. Have you ever intermeddled with that? Have you ever engaged in the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers you? The Bible says you must be born again. We have sinned. Our sins have separated us from God. There's no joy in being lost. I mean, occasionally you have moments of happiness and so on and so forth, but for those that are lost, there is an emptiness in them, a void in them, a vacuum in them that can never be filled until you're born again, until you know your Creator as your Savior. Are you saved? David there in that verse talked in the Psalms about the joy of his salvation. And any of you that have ever really been saved know the joy of salvation. You have experienced it. It may have, you know, may have gone away since then, because we need to do also number two. We need to engage in this. Number two, if we could have that verse read. And what else must we engage in to bring us joy?
Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Point number two, the presence of the Lord brings joy.
The presence of the Lord brings joy. That's our verse up on the wood plaque right there. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So not only do we need to be saved, number one, but we need to continue on and live in the presence of the Lord. live in the presence of the Lord. Now, there's some people that are at a guilty distance from God. I mean, they're kind of as far away from God as they can be. They're saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you that I'm going to heaven. But that's enough. I'll see you later. I've got my own life to live right now, and there's no joy in that. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The people that do not believe that are those who have never tried it. I have seen people, and I've illustrated this a few times this year already, I have seen men who got so much joy out of being in the presence of Jesus Christ that they gave up hunting, they gave up fishing, they gave up sports, they gave up NASCAR, they gave up hobbies, they gave up crafts, and so on and so forth. They give up their Sunday nights and come to church on Sunday nights. They give up their Wednesday nights and come to church on Wednesday nights. Not that those things are necessarily wrong. It might not be wrong to go hunting and fishing and so on and so forth. But I have seen men who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those things were their life before they were saved. But then after they got saved, they got so much joy from Jesus Christ that the joy, the happiness they got from those things early in their life didn't even compare with the joy the Lord could give them. Didn't even compare. And so they turned their back on some of that stuff like it was nothing. Some on partying, some on living in sin, some on drinking, some on gambling, some on womanizing. I've seen men leave all of that for Jesus Christ. Because in his presence there is fullness of joy. And I've seen some men never go back to that stuff. Because they found something so much better. Have you engaged in the presence of the Lord? Are you trying to get as close to the Lord as in his presence there is fullness of joy? And he's never lied once. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Number three, what else did we learn this year that we need to engage in that can be a source of joy to us?
John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Point number three, the Word of God brings joy.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill. Just slapped in the eye again. The Word of God brings joy. These things have I written unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. These things right here. The Bible. The Bible brings us joy. It's amazing to read. I was reading the other day in Zechariah 14 about Jesus Christ putting his feet on the Mount of Olives pretty soon, someday. The Mount of Olives is going to cleave in the midst. He's going to walk up through the eastern gate someday. He's going to walk into the temple. He's going to take over. He's going to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. It made me think of being back in Israel in February. Why don't you get into the Word of God? Here's some things to help you here. New Testament reading schedules, Bible reading schedules, devotions for you and your wife. Or if you got children or teenagers, you can teach them these things here. We're trying to help you. You get into the Word of God, and God's Word will bring you joy. But some don't intermeddle with their joy. They stay a stranger to the Bible. They stay a stranger to the Bible. The Bible will give you joy. It's a great source of joy. This afternoon, I will finish reading through the Bible from cover to cover for the 30th time of my life. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Start over. And it just keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Sorry, kids. Your parents will fix that. Number four.
John chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Point number four, prayer brings joy.
Right, amen. Thanks, Randy. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer. Are you intermeddling with prayer? Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a prayer time? There's a difference. Prayer time is that sanctified time when you get on your knees in what God calls your prayer closet, somewhere alone with God, and you just pray to God all alone. Then you get up off of your knees and you go on in the life, your job, your employment, whatever you're doing, the school, but you keep in communion with God all day long. That's a prayer life. We need both a prayer time and a prayer life. And you know what happens when people pray? God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And you know what happens when the answer comes? Not only do you get the answer, you get some joy with it. And you stand up at testimony times, and guess what God did for me this week? I mean, those of you that have had answers to prayer know the joy. I mean, there's about 6.3 billion people on earth to think that God would take time to listen to me. That amazes me. And it's not just the big things, the little things. Remember when I prayed for socks? I gave you the illustration. I prayed for socks, and I was over picking up a desk one time that a man had passed away, and the lady knew me, and she wanted to donate the desk to the church. And so we were about ready to drive away, and she came out with a big black bag, garbage bag, full of socks. Said, "Do any of you guys need any socks?" The guy that was with me immediately said, "No, I have enough," before I could even answer. I said, "I could use some socks." I took them home and spread them out on the bed. There were 72 pairs of socks. I had just been praying, "Lord, I need some socks." You think that didn't give me joy? To think that the great God of heaven would be concerned about such a little detail like that in my life. That filled me with joy. And you know what? That was years and years and years ago. It still gives me joy to this day. Think about that and so many other stories. And many of you have stories just like that, where prayer gives you joy. All right, let's go on here. Number five, if I could, if we could have that one read. Number five, what else gives us joy? Listen as he reads for it.
Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Point number five is the Holy Spirit brings joy.
Amen. Joy in the Holy Ghost. There is a God in heaven. He is a triune God. He exists eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Positionally, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But positionally, God the Father sits on a throne in heaven. God the Son sits at his right hand. But where is God the Holy Spirit? Where is God the Holy Spirit positionally? He's inside of us. He's inside of us. So positionally, who's the closest to us? The Holy Spirit. I mentioned, he didn't just come to live inside of you because he didn't have anywhere else to go. Believe me, if you were as holy as he is, the last place you would want to be is inside of a human being. You ever think of that? If you are a holy God, the last place in all of creation you want to be is inside of a human being. But he chose to come inside of us when we accepted Christ as our Savior. Why? Because he is called the Comforter, one called alongside to help. And we are supposed to have communion with the Holy Spirit. Another verse about this is Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The more you mature in your walk with the Holy Spirit, the more communion you have with the Holy Spirit, the more joy he will give you. Are you intermeddling? Are you engaging with the Holy Spirit? Or are you grieving him? We can grieve him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Number six, please. What else can bring us joy? You'll have to listen closely to this one here, but I did preach on it. Brother Ed.
Psalm 42:4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Point number six, fellowship at church brings joy.
Amen. Gone with the multitude, them that kept holy day. This is a joy, singing. Fellowship with God's people bring joy. Now, you all know God's people aren't perfect. And this church certainly isn't perfect. We've got our faults and our flaws. But if you'll do more than just attend, and if you'll go beyond attendance to fellowship and friendship with God's people, you will eventually make the best friends you've ever made in your life. And they'll be with you through thick and thin when the friends of this world will forsake in a heartbeat when things go south. We need to have fellowship at God's church. That's where our friends ought to be. Fellowship at God's house brings joy, as Ed just read to us. One of the psalmists said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122:1. I was glad. It gave him gladness, which is a synonym. for joy. All right, next one is we're up to number 7, please. Let's listen now to this verse and see what it is that brings joy.
Luke 15:6. Jesus said, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Point number 7, winning souls to Christ brings joy.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Winning souls to Christ. Now, we're going to try to be focusing even more on this. We try to focus on winning souls to Christ around here, but especially more a little bit on Wednesday nights, being a soul winner. I know the ladies with Louise on Sunday nights at 5:30, you need to be here. More of you ladies need to get in on that. You'll be taught on how to win souls to Christ, how to intelligently engage in a conversation with somebody that doesn't know the Lord, so you can know how to lead them to Christ. And there's nothing like it. I don't know really much in my life that has ever given me greater joy than to sit down with somebody who is lost and show them the gospel and see God's Holy Spirit work on their hearts, his redemptive work of grace, leading them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And then seeing them from their hearts trust in Christ as their Savior and call on the Lord and be born again into God's family and become a child of God. And to think that God would use instruments like us to lead others to Christ, whereas once they were a child of the devil heading for a lake of fire, and we were able to stand in their way and say, "No, you don't want to go that way. Let me show you the way you should take. It's Jesus Christ." And then they trust in Christ as their Savior, and they're born again, and they become now children of God, born into his family and heading for heaven. Some of you haven't led a soul to Christ yet in your life since you've been saved. That's got to change next year. I guarantee it'll be one of the greatest joys you will ever have in your life to lead someone else to Christ. I got saved when I was about 12. I think I was 13 or 14. I just went like a madman back to school, public school. I just started telling all my friends what happened to me. And friend after friend after friend accepted Jesus as their Savior. And man, that gave me an appetite for that just hasn't gone away. And winning souls to Christ can bring you joy. There's just nothing like it. All right. Let's have our next one. Number 8, Isaiah 51. And verse number 11, there's Andy, okay, Isaiah 51, and verse number 11, I believe.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall attain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Point number 8, singing brings joy.
Amen. Singing brings joy. Singing. And in that sermon, I talked about singing from the heart, not singing from the CD or the DVD or the radio to you from some fabricated source, but singing that comes from your heart to God, singing that comes out of you. That's the kind of music that'll bring you joy, when it comes out of your heart, when it's in there. 7 times it says in the Bible, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, even if you can't sing worth being. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. 16 times it says, sing unto the Lord. See, these are commandments. Sing unto the Lord. When we withhold singing, when we don't sing, we're withholding from God something he is worthy of. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our songs. And you know, God himself sings. It says in Zephaniah 3 and verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Gives God joy to sing. He joys over us with singing. And singing will bring joy into your life. It don't mean you have to join a singing group. Just sing with the congregation. Learn songs. Sing them unto the Lord while you're driving the car down the road. It'll bring you joy. It'll get your mind off your finances and all your marriage problems and family problems and so on and so forth. Get you focused back on the Lord. All right, number 9. Please, what else did we learn this year that we need to engage with? Not just know about, but engage with it. Number 9.
Psalm 85, 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Point number 9, revival brings joy.
Amen. Maybe you're here today and you need a revival.
Revival brings joy.
If you are away from God this morning, do not come to Him. Run to Him. Run to God. Run back to God. I know what it's like to be a backslidden believer. I spent a season of my life, about 3 years that way. I know what it's like. And you're miserable. You're empty. I don't know if there's anybody on earth more miserable than someone who tasted once the joy of the Lord and then walked away from it and went out into the world. Started living in sin. I tried it. Solomon tried it. Solomon wrote a whole book about it called Ecclesiastes. About all the things he tried, and said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. Because everything in the world left me empty and depressed. I want to encourage you to run back to Christ. Have a revival. That'll bring you joy. I'm so glad for the day I ran back to Christ as a backslidden believer and said, "Dear God, I don't know if you can do anything with me, but if you will, here I am." And boy, he just filled me with joy. And he gave me strength to get up and to go on. Pick up where I left God, walk on with him. Amen. Number 10. We got 12 all together, so hang in there. What brings joy here that we should engage ourselves in? Number 10.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Point number 10, giving brings joy.
Amen. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods for the missionary Paul, knowing that in heaven they had a more enduring substance. Gave them joy to give because they knew that when you give to God, you can never lose it. You're going to catch up with it in eternity. And God will bless that forever. He's keeping the account. Number 11. Number 11. What else do we need to engage in? Intermeddle with.
The book of Philemon, verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Number 11. Love brings joy.
All right. Maybe you can remember your mother, your grandmother, your grandpa, or somebody in your past who loved you. Maybe they've passed on now. But the memory of them, just the memory of them, still brings you joy because of the love they had for you. You remember someone like that? My grandmother, she's 95 now. She took us in when Mom died of cancer. She also had 15 foster children, 6 other children of her own. She's not only that big, but boy, is she packed with love. Tell you what, I wish I could have gotten some of it out of her, some more of it. But I can't think about my grandmother and her love but that it gives me joy. And we can have the same effect on other people. If we'll learn how to love other people, our love will give them joy. And that joy will give them strength to be what God wants them to be. We need to love people. We need to pray for more love in our church, more love in our hearts, more love towards husbands and wives, children, children towards parents, and so on and so forth. Number 12, we just looked at this one last week, I think it was. What else brings joy?
Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Point number 12, Christmas brought joy.
Amen. Christmas brought joy. Amen.
It's a done deal.
Jesus came. That was the shepherd story. The wise men story is the same way. It says the wise men got there and it brought them great joy when they saw the Christ child. Christmas brings joy. Now all these things are worthless information. All 12 are worthless information unless you do something with it. Unless I do something with it. Number 1, salvation. The joy of salvation will do you no good until you're saved. You need to be saved and so on. Then after you're saved, the presence of the Lord. God's not going anywhere. You can enjoy his presence, or you can walk as far away from him as you want to. But a stranger, it says, doth not intermeddle. He doesn't engage with his joy. But if you and I will not only be saved, but seek the presence of the Lord, and then the Word of God, prayer, the Holy Spirit, fellowship and friendship at church, winning souls to Christ, singing, having a personal revival, giving, loving, these type of things. We can have it all in our head, but boy, until it sinks down in our hearts. But if these things can sink down in our hearts, and we can become, as James, the half-brother of Jesus once said, doers of the Word and not hearers only, you can have joy. And joy will give you strength. It's amazing, the joy of the Lord. I've seen wives who've had lousy husbands, but the joy of the Lord was enough strength for them to endure that. I've seen husbands with lousy wives, unsaved wives. Doesn't mean an unsaved wife's a lousy wife. But I've seen men with unsaved wives, but because they got the joy of the Lord, it gave them the strength. I've seen men, even women, who've had jobs they didn't like, but because they went to work every day with the joy of the Lord, they were able to endure it. You can go to heaven first class or second class. First class is with Christ and his joy. Second class is just knowing Christ, but not his joy. But I just want to tell you from experience, life's a lot easier when you have joy. A lot easier when you have joy. Now, what will you decide to do this year's end to have more joy in your life and to be better stewards of other people's joys? I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, men, for helping.